Breakfast with Ali Clark.
Weekdays from 6
on ABC Radio Adelaide.
Let's go to the Health Minister, Stephen Wade. Can we go to the breaking news first? Here's Federal Health Minister Greg Hunt making an announcement about changes to the Pfizer vaccine.
And then in relation to the general 12 to 15-year-old population, the advice we have is that over the course of the period to mid to late August...
Okay, so that is basically the TGA giving approval for the Pfizer vaccine to go to 12 to 15-year-olds. If that is the date from mid to late August, Stephen Wade, will SA Health be able to get everything turned around by that to allow that to happen?
Well, actually, the Minister Hunt actually raised this topic in the context of the campaign plan with the Health Minister's meeting last night, and Lieutenant General Frewen was there briefing the ministers. The expansion of the 12 to 15-year-old age bracket was raised with ministers, but the Minister Hunt is referring only to the TGA approval. Mm-hmm. What Jenna Frewen indicated was that advice now needs to go to ATAGI, the Australian Technical Advisory Group on Immunisation, because having the TGA having done the clinical assessment, the ATAGI does the prioritisation. So what they'll be weighing up is both the vulnerability of the age cohorts and the risk. So 12 to 15-year-olds are a lower risk age group than older age groups. Some of the older age groups, like the 16 to 40s, which are currently not receiving it in South Australia, are a higher transmission risk. There are more young adults at nightclubs than there are 12 to 15-year-olds. Okay. So we'll be looking very much for the advice from ATAGI. To be honest with you, I don't know how long that will take. But this is certainly an area that's been looked at right across the world. In fact, President Biden's announced that the United States may well do under 12s by winter. We're certainly keen to look at how relevant each of the vaccines are for younger Australians.
Mm-hmm. Look, through all of this, there has been a lot of conversation about the vaccination program, and there are people in more vulnerable age groups waiting for the Pfizer vaccine. Will you, as a state government, continue to focus on them first?
Well, certainly ATAGI continues to indicate that Pfizer is preferred for people under the age of 60. We've got significant availability of AstraZeneca for people over the age of 60. But over time, there will be more Pfizer supplies coming in, and there will be wider access to Pfizer.
Okay. Look, through this latest lockdown, the testing lineup, and the times to be able to be tested have been the biggest topic. And massive kudos to A, everybody that's been doing the right thing and pushing on with this, but B, the people who have been out there taking the tests in the horrendous weather and everything else. But we just heard, for example, ClinPath has been able to train up 40 staff almost overnight and get another 2 testing sites up and running. Why can't our government move that quickly?
Well, we have. On Wednesday, the Ridgehaven site opened up. Yesterday, the Lot 14 site opened up.
But the Lot 14 site was almost shut down immediately because of a leak in the roof or something. And the Ridgehaven site, we had a lot of reports saying, well, we're getting turned away in the mid-afternoon, so we still need more.
And we certainly do need more, and that's why today we're opening up, in partnership with the ADF, a testing site at Warradale. Tomorrow there'll be a site at Mile End. So that's 4 new clinics being opened up. Mm-hmm. A number of our established clinics have extended their operating hours. The partnership with the ADF is, again, another example of great support from our partners. We asked for the help on Wednesday. We had people in training yesterday, and they're going to be deployed today.
Asking for the support on Wednesday, should that ask had been coming earlier? I mean, can you just sort of take us inside the planning? Because I think a lot of people will think, well, hang on a second. SA Health has always been telling us that we will get Delta strain here. This is part of the reason why we haven't been able to stand up a drink at times or sing or do whatever else. They've said it's coming. So is there not a blueprint that exists somewhere that says, right, here's what happens when lockdown goes. We immediately get more testers on site. These are the potential sites that we can open. This is how it will roll out. The people who need priority can go in this lane and this lane. Why doesn't that happen immediately?
Well, first of all, those plans are in place and they are being implemented. I think it's really important to understand the context. We We are experiencing a cluster here in South Australia, a significant outbreak. That comes immediately after we've dealt with New South Wales removalists who travelled through both Tailem Bend and other parts of our state. It comes at the tail end of a national outbreak. We've had four states, Western Australia, Queensland, New South Wales, Victoria, all in lockdown in recent weeks. All of them still have testing requirements for South Australians and other people who've come back into this state. So as of Wednesday, for example, that's 2 days ago, the latest figures I've got available to me, 1,800 of the people who were at our testing clinics were not there. Anything to do with the Modbury cluster, anything to do with their symptoms, okay. But because they had requirements under the testing rules. Then we've got more. We've got we're now doing this in winter. Not only winter, but yesterday we had the coldest day in 32 years. You can plan, and that planning has been important for our response. But of course, there's more than one factor here, and that's why it's taken a major effort to ramp up the capacity. Okay. And that's exactly what we've done.
So then, to the people that have waited 7 hours and then got turned away, to the people that have had to wait for 14 and a half hours, to the people who are saying, I took a toddler nappy along in the car so I could rip the sides off and go to the toilet, what do you say to them? That's good enough?
I say thank you very much for your commitment, because what we've seen again in South Australia is that people are going the extra mile. They've seen it through. They haven't gone to the end of the queue.
Yeah, but are you worried they're not going to keep... We want this commitment to keep happening, but man, if you asked me to go and have a wee and a nappy in a car, I probably wouldn't be rushing to come back for day 5 and 13, and surely we have to be aware that the rush will come again and then again when people keep doing the right thing.
Exactly right, and that's why we've stood up four additional clinics. That's why we're expanding our capacity.
Okay. All right. Well, I guess we'll see in the next couple of days when everybody goes back for that day 5 lot of testing. Also, we're hearing in our news that the owners of the Greek restaurant, which has been one of the super spreader sites that health authorities have identified, the owner said that despite being a key site, he and his staff hadn't had access to priority testing. That sounds like a miss, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm not sure when that was posted, but what I have been assured is that there's
been
strong progress.
It was an interview last night.
Strong progress on tests in relation to those two sites. It's specifically to make sure that people who are priority tests get ready access is why we've stood up Lot 14. That is not an open site. It's for people who have been referred by CDCB.
But hang on, hasn't Lot 14 been altered and closed because of weather damaging something to the roof, or is that back up and running?
My understanding is that Lot 14 is now operating from the Wilson's car park within the Lot 14 site.
And from when did that start happening?
I thought it was yesterday.
Okay. Well, we will check with SA Health.
It may be today.